Distinguished Chairman, Professor Laszlo Lovas, President of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences and of this World Science Forum, Her Royal Highness Princess Samaya, distinguished ministers, very essential advisors to governments, excellencies, dear colleagues and friends. Let me thank the chairman first for bringing us to this most beautiful space here. I mean, which symbolizes policy making, science advice. It's been a great pleasure now over this week to be first in the beautiful building of the Academy itself, and now being in this Parliament. I think this is really a real treat for all of us to be able, and I feel very honored and a bit humbled to stay up there and to talk down like this. And I also do apologize to stand between you and probably the most important document of today, which is the declaration of the 7th World Science Forum on the enabling power of science. And why do I stand between you and this most important document? Because of another document, the UNESCO Science Report Towards 2030. When we gathered here 4 years ago, the theme of the World Science Forum back then was the changing landscape of science. That theme had been inspired by the findings of the UNESCO Science Report 2010, which had come out just a year before. Now the latest edition of this same report is being launched in Paris next week on the 10th of November to mark the World Science Day for Peace and Development. So all the content of that report is under embargo until that date, but I'm very happy and very honored to tell you now that it not only confirms that the landscape of science has further evolved since 2011, but that this trend is even accelerating in spite of the financial crisis which hit between the last UNESCO science report and now the latest edition. Little by little, the north-south divide in research and innovation is narrowing. This is one of the report's key messages. A large number of countries are now incorporating science, technology, and innovation, STI, in their national development agendas. More countries are planning to reduce their reliance on raw materials by developing an economy that is more rooted in knowledge. At the same time, governments are coming to realize that their plans to diversify and to modernize their economy will be thwarted if they cannot call upon a critical mass of skilled personnel to drive this new economy. In my address, I shall be highlighting the following key trends from the report. Firstly, a number of countries are investing more than before in science, technology, and innovation. And in parallel, science is becoming more mobile and more international. A third trend is the growing use of science to power commerce and economy. And a fourth trend, the heightened policy interest in sustainable development in many countries where clean energy has often become a research priority. Let me go through these trends one by one. The UNESCO Science Report Towards 2030 reveals that global expenditure on research and development grew faster than the global economy between 2007 and 2013, which really marks the height of the global financial crisis. The decreasing divide between the North and the South I mentioned earlier shows a very complex picture. Whereas wealthy countries have cut back their commitment as part of a wider austerity drive, lower income countries have stepped up their own public commitment. This convergence is not yet visible in the figures for overall research expenditure because the business sector in higher income countries again has maintained or increased its own spending on R&D despite the financial crisis. But it's not only research expenditure that has progressed rapidly. The number of researchers, scientific publications worldwide have also progressed since 2007, with some of the fastest progress being recorded in low-income and upper-middle-income countries. A second trend highlighted by the report is the growing mobility of students and scientists. Countries are striving to attract and retain talent to drive the knowledge economy to which they aspire or to maintain their international competitiveness. It is not a coincidence that still the US, the UK, and France host the largest contingents of international PhD students in science and engineering. But they have also, due to the financial crisis, lost some of their appeal to moving students. Perhaps more surprisingly, governments are themselves accompanying this movement. Countries of different income levels are now fostering the greater international mobility of their graduate students through scholarships and other means to ensure that they acquire a wide spectrum of skills and experiences. And it's not only countries in the European Union, it's also countries like Brazil, Saudi Arabia, or Vietnam. The European Union now is even planning to instigate a scientific visa to facilitate mobility around Europe. And the UNESCO Science Report towards 2030 shows that the high level of mobility by qualified personnel across countries and between the public and the private sector contributes to the overall professionalism of the labor force as well as to the innovative performance of an economy. This trend towards greater scientific mobility is accompanied by another. The growing number of private companies that are relocating their research laboratories abroad. Although universities are collaborating much more internationally than before, their infrastructure tends to be less physically mobile than that one of private companies. And the private sector thus has a potentially considerable role to play in spreading the resource balance in science and technology around the world. The trend towards greater mobility is both real and virtual. Internet is fostering open access to information and data. Scientists are not only publishing more in internationally catalogued journals, but also co-authoring a greater share of papers with foreign partners through the internet. Scientific collaboration between North and South and within the South, even more importantly, is growing as research becomes increasingly interdisciplinary and oriented towards problem solving. Researchers are now sharing their data and research results across web-based platforms so that the global scientific community can use them. One example of this type of collaborative research can be seen in the big data generated for climate change projections using global scale models. Many of the development challenges being tackled by science have been identified as sustainable development goals. At the same time, it is evident from the latest UNESCO science report that science is increasingly powering economy. In the desire to foster economic growth, it can be tempting to divert public resources towards commercial applications. But this comes to the detriment of basic research and science on public goods. Governments in high-income countries need to recognize that science powers economy, but not only, in the words of one of the report authors. It is a question of balance. A sustained high public investment in basic and high-risk research makes economic sense, since neglecting them leads to a smaller pool of new knowledge, which in turn means that there will be less science to commercialize in years to come. Countries who are global innovation leaders devote up to 20 to 30% of R&D to basic research. As predicted in the previous UNESCO Science Report in 2010, international diplomacy, science policy interface has increasingly taken the form in recent years. countries at all stages of development stand to gain from this trend. But the spirit of cooperation and solidarity that has characterized the development partners up until now must be preserved. Trade relations are important, but international relations should not be confined to trade. Achieving many goals of the Agenda 2030 will depend not only on diffusion of technology, but also on how well countries partner with each other in the pursuit of science to solve pressing social and environmental problems and to ensure that nobody is left behind, which is not yet the case. The Sustainable Development Goals, mentioned many times also during this forum, were adopted by the United Nations on 25th September last and are known collectively as the 2030 Agenda. And science, technology and innovation are woven into the fabric of this agenda since they will be both enablers and drivers for achieving many of these goals. Although the goals have been adopted by member states, by governments, it's evident that they will only be reached if all stakeholder groups take ownership of them. The scientific community seems to be already on board. We know from the UNESCO Science Report towards 2030 that the focus of scientific discovery has shifted towards problem solving in order to tackle the pressing developmental challenges. This shift in research priorities is evident in the amount of research funds currently being allocated to applied sciences, and in parallel, both governments and businesses are increasingly investing in the development of green technologies and green cities. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, at the same time, we should not forget that basic science and applied science are two sides of the same coin, in the words of the Scientific Advisory Board to the Secretary General of the United Nations. They are interconnected and interdependent, thus complement each in providing innovation solutions to the challenges humanity faces on the pathway to the sustainable development. An adequate investment in both basic sciences and applied research will be vital to reach the goals of the 2030 Agenda. Let me come to my final remarks. The UNESCO Science Report, subtitled Towards 2030, has been written by 60 authors from 40 countries. It covers now 189 countries with a wealth of information about the trends and developments that have been shaping national and regional policy and governance over the past 5 years. With our partners, we intend to translate the report into several other languages and to organize many launches around the world in order to ensure a wide dissemination of its findings. And obviously, all the chapters, the report as a whole, will be accessible online as well. In his message to the opening of this very World Science Forum, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon, observed that the 2015 UNESCO Science Report provides both baseline and springboard to take the Sustainable Development Agenda forward, unquote. And I'm convinced that the UNESCO Science Report towards 2030 will be a valuable and essential tool for monitoring the implementation of the 2030 Agenda, since by showing us where we stood at the time of the Sustainable Development Goals, it will help us to track progress towards these goals. We cannot know how far we have come if we do not know where we have started. But we're all sure, Your Royal Highness, that we will be there in Jordan for the next World Science Forum 2017, Science for Peace. Thank you very much for your attention.